We'll open it up to Proverbs chapter 6. We are in a series called To Know and Understand Wisdom, and it's kind of a topical study through the book of Proverbs and in no specific order. And I did this in 2009, 2013, and now I'm doing it again. So there's so many different topics, and it's so encouraging to see how pertinent God's word is. Even things that were written thousands of years ago are really helpful for us today. Now, last week, some of you that were here, you might remember I did a message on anger, and I was actually very surprised how many angry people I have in my church. I'm actually afraid for my own safety. And I had so many people come up to me at the door, that sermon was for me, that sermon was for me. Of course, I had people say, that sermon was for my husband, or that sermon was for my wife. So I don't know if this one's going to have that same effect, but today the topic we're going to talk about is laziness. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into God's word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here. I do thank you that your word does not come back void, that it impacts our lives, it changes our lives, it helps us to grow closer to you, and most importantly, Lord, it helps us to know who you are and what you've done in our place on our behalf. So I just pray now this morning that as we study this next topic, I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be convicted of any sin that we're living in. I pray that you would help us to be inspired to help other people and to teach other people. I pray, Lord, that our minds and our hearts would be open, that you would clear distractions from this room so we can focus our attention on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Proverbs 6, 9 through 10 says this, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Maybe this is your voice calling out to your son or daughter that's living in your house. Maybe this is your voice calling out to your husband or wife that's a little bit lazy. Or maybe, just maybe, this is God's voice calling out to you because you are lazy. So today what we're going to do is we're going to learn the problems associated with laziness, and then we're going to learn what we need to do about it. So the problems associated with laziness, and then what we need to do about it. So problem number one associated with laziness is something called poverty. And poverty is a problem felt around the world. And I don't want you to take this the wrong way, because I do believe that some people live in poverty and they're not lazy. They live in a developing country where the infrastructure is bad. Things are not going well in the country. They lack resources and their countries face a lot of problems. So they might be very hard workers. They might not be lazy at all, but they just can't rise up out of poverty. But the Proverbs do teach this, that one of the problems that will occur if you are lazy is something called poverty, or as we would say in our country, being poor. If you are not willing to work, it is obvious that eventually the funds will run out. And guess what? In this country, here is what happens. People run out of funds, so what do? They borrow funds. They borrow funds on credit cards. They pay with this bill, with this credit card, and they kind of get themselves in such a deep hole of debt, you would actually look at their finances and say, you know what? They're not poor. They're beyond poor, okay? They're in such a deficit that they can't even get out of that hole unless they really start to work and pay all their bills. So Proverbs 6:11 says it this way. It says, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. So basically what this scripture is telling us is it will come up quick. You'll be at a certain point where your laziness will actually catch up to you. And interestingly enough, the scriptures talk a lot about money. And actually, I think it was in 2013, if you go on our website, you'll see the scripture, the Proverbs that I talked about money. And the scriptures teach a lot about money. But the first step to being a good steward of our money is the willingness to be able to earn money on your own. And guess what? Lazy people do not want to do that. So the truth is that the first real problem associated is eventually something's going to give and you're not going to have the funds that you need. Poverty will be a result of continuing on the road of laziness. And you know what? If you are a parent and you have children that are lazy, it is your job and your calling to disciple them and to teach them and mentor them out of that laziness. Because guess what? Do you like your children living at home? Do you? Okay. They're going to be there a long time if you don't do your job. So let me just tell you that. The next problem associated with laziness is what I'm going to call no advancement. And you might think to yourself sometimes, why am I never in charge of anything? Or why am I not the boss? What, you know, you might ask yourself these questions, and the answer might very well be is because you are lazy and the people around you know it. Maybe you're at work and you're thinking, I want the promotion, I should advance, I should this. And then you're thinking, why is it never me? Well, maybe your manager, your boss, or somebody in charge of you looks at you and says, you know what? That person is lazy. And I'm not talking about the typical form of laziness, because when I say laziness, especially when the scriptures say sluggard, it sounds so offensive, doesn't it? So when we say laziness, a lot of people think of somebody just kind of like laying on the couch, eating chips, playing video games, doing nothing. And that is a form of laziness. But I think what this next proverb is telling us is there's actually something more to laziness. There's actually something more, and it's not the typical thing that we normally see in our minds. Listen to Proverbs 12:24. You can follow along there if you want. Proverbs 12:24 says this: the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Think about that for a second. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful or the lazy will be put to forced labor. You know what? This is telling us there's a difference between someone who works and someone who's diligent. Do you agree with that? There's a difference between someone who works and someone who is diligent. A diligent worker cares for their work, thinks about ways to make things better, and wants to add value to whatever they're doing. So, for instance, if you're a parent, your job is to parent your kids. And granted, you can meet the basic needs of your kids, right? Food, clothing, and a place to live. And you could say, I'm a pretty good parent because I meet the basic needs of my kids. And everybody around you is going to say, no, you meet the basic needs of your kids. That's a given. That's a starting point. But a diligent parent spends time with their children, works with their children, disciples their children, helps their children be the best that they could possibly be. Yeah, meeting their needs is great, and I'm glad you do that, but that's just kind of the worker, okay? So what I would suggest from this passage is this: a diligent person is a person who brings more value. So now think about, like, say, for instance, the workplace. Maybe you've never advanced in the workplace. Maybe this is true of you. Maybe you are a worker and you get the job done, but that's it. Think about that. Maybe you're the worker, you get the job done, but that is it. It says right here, the slothful or the lazy will be put to forced labor. So what does that mean? The lazy person's still working, but they're not adding much value. They're not doing much. They're not what I would say is diligent. And you know what? If you desire advancement, if you desire more results, just getting the job done actually is not going to cut it. Do you realize that? Proverbs 12:27 says this: whoever is slothful will not roast his gain, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. So now this is taking it a step further and say the diligent actually prosper and they advance. Think about it this way. If you are a manager or you own anything, who are you looking for to work for you? Do you want someone who just gets the job done? Or do you want someone that brings value to what you're doing, who's thinking about things that you're thinking about, troubleshooting when you're not able to troubleshoot? Think about this. If you're looking to advance someone, is it someone who just, yeah, they get the job done? And I'm not saying there's necessarily something wrong with getting the job done, but if you're just looking at life like that, guess what? That's all that life's going to be. You're just getting the job done. You're not characterized as diligent in the eyes of the scriptures. So now the next problem kind of builds on that in some senses. And the next problem is this. Laziness actually harms other people. Your personal laziness can harm the people around you. And now you're thinking, okay, I'm not lazy. But there's lazy people around me, and you know this harm. So you're wondering, okay, what's he going to teach us what to do about living with a lazy person? Well, I'll just tell you, you can take all the things that you're learning today, and you can pass that wisdom on. Because here's what happens when you're around someone who's lazy. And we're all kind of guilty about of this at some point. When someone around us is lazy, we get frustrated and angry with them and tell them not to be lazy anymore. But they don't know how not to be lazy anymore. They need to be taught. So if that's what's going on, if this next point especially really resonates with you, here's what you need to know. You need to pass these things on. Somehow pass these things on. Some way teach the person around you. So the next problem, though, is this. It harms other people. You might not feel, if you're a lazy person, you might not feel that you're doing others harm because you're not mean, you're not ruining things, you're not tearing down things that other people built up. You're just kind of there. Well, here's what the scriptures say. In Proverbs 18:9, it says this. Proverbs 18:9 says this. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So whoever is slack, whoever is lazy in their work is a brother or close kin or a partner in crime to the person who destroys. It's just another way of harming other people. Do you realize that? Laziness is another form of harming other people. Maybe you're a kid. We have a lot of kids in this church. Maybe you're a young person and you're not doing what your parents ask you to do. How does that usually go? You might not be doing it because I don't feel like it. None of us feel like it, okay? But you're saying, I don't feel like it. And what does that do to the relationship? Then your parents keep asking you. And what do you as a kid, and you know, I have proof of this because I was a kid at one time. What do you say about your parents because they keep on asking you? They're nagging me, right? And then you say that about your parents, and what do your parents be like? I'm not nagging. I wouldn't nag if you did what you were supposed to do. And all of a sudden, now there's this rift in the relationship. There's tension in the relationship. There's harm to the family. How about spouses? Maybe a wife needs some things done by her husband, and she keeps on asking her husband, come on, honey, can you do this? Can you get this done? And then he doesn't. He puts it off. He doesn't do it. It harms the relationship. Vice versa, maybe a husband's asking the wife to do something, and this is like a cycle that really just harms other people. Think about work. You know what? If you're lazy at work, it does harm the people around you. You might work with somebody who's very lazy, and that harms you. I remember when I was a teenager, right before I became a Christian, I worked at a gas station. I continued to work there after I became a Christian. And one of the things that they would do at this gas station is if somebody was late, they would call you up when you were already working and they'd say, yo, can you punch me in? I'm running late. Okay. So when I became a Christian, I was like, I heard that from the other end of the phone. I was like, no, I can't do that. And they're like, why can't you do that? I'm like, well, it's lying, okay? I can't do that. But then as I thought about it more, some people would take so much advantage of this practice, they would call you up and they would have to be in at 9 o'clock and say, yo, can you punch me in? I'm running late. You'd punch them in at 9 o'clock. They'd show up at 10 o'clock. Well, here I'm the chump working for two, right? And only getting paid what my wage is, and they're getting paid for laying in bed. It was harm to me at this point. So the point here is this. When we choose to be lazy, it actually harms the other people around you. It harms their work. It might harm the relationship. Here's what Proverbs 10:26 says. It says this, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. Vinegar to the teeth. Vinegar wears down the enamel of the teeth. Smoke to the eyes. You ever been on the wrong side of a campfire? Yeah, it's not good. Well, that's what a sluggard or a lazy person is like to those who they're sent to. That's the harm that you're doing by living like you're living. The next problem associated with laziness is pretty interesting, and it's this. The problem is lack motivation. The lazier you are, the lazier you become. Have you ever felt that way? The lazier you are, the lazier you become. You ever go on vacation for an elongated time, and then you're like, you just almost have a hard time like turning back on again and getting back to work. You're just like, oh, just laying around the whole time. That was so nice, and it's just so hard for me to get motivated. Proverbs 19:15 says this, slothfulness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. So I want to focus in on the first part of that. Slothfulness casts into a deep sleep. Have you ever noticed this in your life? When you're really busy, you're really productive. And when you're not busy, it seems like you can't get anything done. Have you ever felt that way? Man, I am so busy. And you know what happens? You plan things. You're very productive when you're really busy. And then all of a sudden, when you have not much to do, you don't do much at all. You don't try to better anything. You just kind of sit and kind of wait. And you just kind of sit and you're unproductive. You know what? Our society has kind of really helped us. Our culture has really helped us to become lazy and not motivated. You've heard of this thing called Netflix, right? Netflix, okay? And there's this new thing they call, well, it's not that new, but if you're unfamiliar with it, they call it binge watching. Netflix does this crazy thing, right? If you watch an episode of something, when that episode is done, within 20 seconds, not even enough time to go to the bathroom or get a drink, that next episode will come on, okay? And it's doing you this favor. Why? So you watch it. But what does it really do? How many people here have spent 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even 6 or 7 or 8 hours literally just watching Netflix? Then somebody says to you, what'd you do all day? Well, you know, yeah, watch TV all day? How productive was that? And guess what? When you start to do that, you kind of get comfortable and you lack motivation. You don't feel like doing anything. Reminds me of this proverb, 19:24. And sometimes you'll read these proverbs and you just have to laugh to yourself. This one says this. Proverbs 19:24 says, the sluggard buries his hand in a dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. That's lazy, people, okay? Nah, okay? It's just too hard. I can't do it. Like, seriously, that's a lack of motivation. I can't even feed myself. That's basically what this passage is saying. But the final problem associated with laziness is something called procrastination. And some of us might struggle with this more than others. And you know what? My wife and I will have this joke every now and again because I've been known to procrastinate here and there. Okay, I wouldn't consider myself a procrastinator. Maybe I'm living in denial. But I would not consider myself a full-on procrastinator. But for instance, say if there are 10 things that I have to do, if one thing winds up better because I procrastinated, I love when that happens because I'm like, see? If I would have did that on time, we would have been in trouble, okay? But I procrastinated and it worked for us. But you know what? We shouldn't use those as defenses. And I know you're going to do it now. But here's the thing. A lazy person practices procrastination. They see something that needs to be done and they put it off. Proverbs 22:13 says this, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside, I shall be killed in the streets. What they're saying is, I'm not going to go outside, I'm going to put this off, I'm not going to take care of the problem that is at hand. And most people who procrastinate will think or say something like this, why do today what I could put off till tomorrow? Okay, why do today what I could put off till tomorrow? And you know what? This is going to harm you, and it's going to be a huge problem in your life, in your family, with your friends, at work. In general, it will come back to haunt you. I'm talking about those things that in life that you just don't feel like doing and you just continue to put off. You procrastinate. If you're doing it, you know what you're doing. If you're living with somebody who's doing that, you know what they're doing. You know that things need to get done and they can't put it off, or you can't put it off any longer. So at this point, what I want to do is help us. What should we do? We all can kind of resonate with some point here or there. Maybe, you know, maybe you're doing really good and that's not you at all. I'm glad you need to take these things and teach them to the people around you. You need to help the people around you. But what do we need to do for help? Where should we go? What should we do if we're lazy? And I think the first thing is this. We need to ask Jesus for help. The first thing that in any problem, any situation, any sin that we're dealing with, We need to go to Jesus. Through prayer, we go to him, trusting him that he will actually change the situation. That is so important. We need to go to him through prayer, trust him that he can change you, or he can change the person that you're dealing with that's struggling with this. We need to go to him and trust him. And some would say this, well, why should I trust him? And most of you know what I'm going to say at this point. We should trust Jesus because he loves us and he saved us. See, the truth is that we are all sinners and we all struggle with something. Jesus is the Savior who was willing to lay down his life to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this, all who believe will have eternal life. So we need to ask Jesus for help with the things that we struggle with, but we need to know that he will help because he was willing to save us. You get that? Jesus made promises to us. Jesus fulfilled those promises to us. And we need to know that every issue and situation and sinful behavior that we go through, Jesus is there to help. So never forget that. Never forget that, hey, you know what? I'm struggling with laziness. Something that Pastor Mike said this morning really struck a chord with me. Well, here's the thing. Don't just forget about it. Don't be like, church, what's for lunch, okay? Go home, start to pray, and ask Jesus for help. The second thing that I would suggest to you and what we should do is this. Learn from productive people. You know what? We all need people in our life to help us. We all need people in our life to mentor us. We all need people in our life as examples to us. So Proverbs 6:6 says something interesting, though. It says this. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So now what the scriptures are saying is go outside the scriptures and go to what God has created and observe it. And it happens to be an ant, okay? Go to the ant, O sluggard. And if any of you know something about ants, I mean, you know, they're really strong. They work together in teams. If they're by themselves, they actually die. They can't be alone. They work together. So what the scriptures is saying to us is this, go to the ant, you sluggard, like observe her ways. But here's what I want to do for you this morning. And I think this is helpful because in some senses, it's like going to the modern day ant. Because we all know people around us that are very productive. Some of you look at people like that and say they're very successful people. So what I did was I went outside of the scriptures to kind of help us for some practical ideas that we can use in our life. And there was a little article, it was written on lifehack.org, and that's just like a website that kind of just helps. And I believe that all truth is God's truth, so if it's helpful, God has his hand in it. And somebody wrote an article, and it was called 8 Habits of Highly Productive People. 8 Habits of Highly Productive People. And the first is this. The first habit is focus on the important. First things first. My wife always says this to my kids. First things first. Get the important things done first. One of the things I love and admire about my wife is I remember in college when she would get her college syllabus and there would be all these assignments. She would take the syllabus and look at it and she'd be working on a paper. I'd be like, hey, what are you doing? What are you working on that paper for? She's like, well, it's due. I'm like, it's not due for like 2 or 3 weeks. She would get that paper all done, proofread, ready to hand in. And I was like, why do you do that? Like, why so early? Like, everybody else crams in the library late. And she was like, well, you know, it's important. I want to get it done. And if something else comes along that I either can't do it or something else comes along that I want to do, like a fun thing, I'm able to do. I was like, wow, that is amazing. Who does that? Okay? My wife does that. Okay? And the cool thing about that is I learn from her. She's a productive person, and I learned that, and I said, you know what? That's important. Focus on what is important. First things first. Take care of the important things. The second thing that productive people do is they allocate breaks strategically. Breaks throughout the day, breaks throughout the week, breaks throughout the month, and breaks throughout the year. You know how that looks? Well, for me, I'll tell you, like when I study, for instance, for sermons, I'll study for like maybe 20 minutes and then take a 5 to 10 minute break and do something else. Kind of gives me a little break, a mental break, and then I go back to what I was doing, kind of with fresh eyes. So on the micro level, just in a day, I'll do that. But then in a week, I obviously have time off during the week to rest and recharge. Then during the month, I try to spend at least a few days away, resting, something, doing something restful to help recharge myself. And throughout the year, I try to plan strategic vacations. You know what productive people have found is this. Productive people don't work crazy amounts of hours and work all the time. Okay? They plan in rest. Do you know why? Productive people might not know this, but God invented that. Okay? The scriptures tell us to rest. It says to give yourself a day of rest. God, in creating, rested. I do not believe that God needed the rest, okay? I'll just tell you right now, I do not believe God needed the rest. I believe God was modeling the rest for us. So productive people allocate breaks, and they realize that recharges us. You know what? If you haven't been on vacation, if you haven't taken some time away, I'm just gonna tell you, you need to do that. You need to take a vacation. You need to spend some time resting, enjoying your family, enjoying your spouse, enjoying whoever is in your life. The next thing is this. Productive people remove distractions. Calls, texts, emails, social media, people that distract you from what needs to be done. You know what? We live in such a distracted culture, don't we? Do you ever feel like somebody texts you and you need to answer them? Well, I just want to tell you, you don't, okay? You don't right away. You can remove those distractions. If you have something very important to work on, whether it be at work or whether it be with your family, you know, if you're a parent and you're spending time with your kids, don't spend time with your kids and have this thumb on your phone, like making sure that everything's all right with whoever else is you know, distracting you in life. Remove some of it. Be intentional about this. Have blocks of time where you either spend with your family, blocks of time where you work uninterrupted. The next is this. They tap into their inspiration. Tap into your inspiration. You know what? There's things in every facet of life that you probably enjoy and inspire you to do. Things at work. Things that you like better than other things. Things with parenting your children. Things that you like better than other things. Well, you know what? A way to do this is tap into those things and use those things. Not only that, save those things for last on your list if they're not very important. You know, you want to know why? You'll get those other things done and you'll look forward to doing the inspiring tasks, the things you enjoy to do, the things that will probably consume more of your time if you do those things first. The next is this, create barriers to entry. At some point in the day, in order to be productive, you need to go off the grid. You need to kind of protect yourself so that you can actually do what you need to do. Remember the distraction thing? Oh man, distractions are tough, aren't they? They're so tough. And if you let everyone bother you whenever they want to bother you, you're never going to be productive. You know, sometimes that means you just need a time away or a time by yourself just to kind of refocus. You know, if you have a prayer life, which I sure hope you do, you should not be praying with distractions around. Your phone and things like that, you need to come away from those things and create barriers so no one can get to you unless it's an emergency, unless it's somebody very important to you. For me, one of the things, and you guys all know I love to spend time surfing, one of the things I love about surfing, as soon as I hit that water, I paddle out and I'm just sitting just past the breakers, and guess what? No one can get me, okay? No one can get in touch with me. Somebody after the 8:30 service, they said, sharks can get you. I'm like, oh well, you know? But here's the thing. Sometimes you just need that time to think, to pray, to refocus, create some barriers. The next is productive people optimize time pockets. We all have time in the day that's wasted, right? Travel time, commuting time, time between appointments, time waiting online. Well, productive people, they use that time. They use that time. I'll tell you one of the things that I do. Like I like to, the YouVersion Bible app, doing the Bible through the year. I like to do that. So what I do is you can listen sometimes. So sometimes if I'm just driving, say, to pick up my son from soccer, it only takes about 10 or 15 minutes to listen to the passage. I'm like, you know what? This is time. Rather than just driving to soccer and listening to some dumb things on the radio, I'll plug in my phone and listen to the scriptures and focus in on what God's word has to say. It's utilizing that time wisely. You know, if you're interested in like social media and you like to keep up on that stuff, why not when you're online in a store, check that stuff instead of blowing an hour or so during the day that you can be productive. So utilizing those little time pockets in between appointments and all different things. The next is this, setting timelines for yourself. Set goals for yourself. For me personally, what I do is say I'm doing a project on the house. I always set like kind of day. I want this done by Thanksgiving. I want this done by, people are like, why do you care? Like, why do you care? Why do you set? Well, I set that timeline for myself because I know if I don't, I'll kind of put it off. And if I don't set a timeline, if I don't set clear timelines for myself, I'm going to put those things off and not going to do them. And, you know, I know none of you guys around here at this church have things at your house that are not finished, like a project that you started and it's not finished and your wife's been like, yeah, okay. I know that that's not you, right? No. Okay, good. Well, here's the thing. Set timelines for yourself. And then the final thing that productive people do is this. They automate as much as possible. Okay? They automate email deletes. They automate bill payments, things like that. All these little things make you more productive to save time. I can tell you, I'm embarrassed this morning when I think about that, automating email deletes. The inbox on my email is insane. I have so many emails in there that I need to delete, and I just won't do it. And you know why? Because it will probably take me like 2.5-3 hours. It's just too much time. I can't do it. So I just let it build up. So if anybody knows how to automate deleting emails, I would like that information. But here's the point. Here's the point. We observe productive people. What do they do? What's their secrets? What's going to help us to not fall to the same sin of laziness that we've been falling to? So we ask Jesus for help. We go to productive people for advice. And the last thing is this. It's very simple. We get to work, okay? Get to work. We can talk all we want about what God wants, but God desires people of action. Get to work. And I'm going to close with this. Proverbs 10, 4 through 5 says this. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in the summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in the harvest is a son who brings shame. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you that we can look to your word and find out what needs to change in our lives. But Father, I know that we can't do these things alone. We need help, we need examples, and we need action in our life. So I pray that you would just continue to help us as we become more productive for your kingdom, Lord, because we know that in one area of life, when we have things together, it spills into the next area. And Lord, we don't want to fall to the sin of laziness. We want to continue to be productive for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, and we do two things when we do that. The first thing is we remember, as simple as that. When Jesus sat with his disciples, he said, when you're together, remember me. Remember what I did. My blood was shed for you. My body was broken for you. I died for you. As Christians, this is not something that we should do only once a month, but it's something that we should do daily. Remember.